All right, so we got three more of the minor prophets to study to complete them all. It'll take us a couple weeks to get through Haggai, just two chapters, 38 verses, and then we'll get into Zechariah. It has 14 chapters, so it'll take us a few weeks to get through that, and then to Malachi, which only has four chapters. So hopefully before spring gets here, unless it comes early, and I'm praying that it comes early, we'll get through the minor prophets. The name Haggai means a festival or festive, and some people think that it's a shortened form of the name Haggai, which is Festival of Jehovah. Festival of Jehovah. We don't know very much about this prophet. He's only mentioned in three spots in the Bible. Of course, one of them is the book that bears his name. But the other two places are in the book of Ezra. He's mentioned in Ezra chapter 5, along with Zechariah. They were mentioned as both prophets, messengers from God, and delivering the word of God. In fact, in the 38 verses that make up the book of Haggai, 26 times in 38 verses, it says something like this: "Thus saith the Lord." Thus, or "the Lord spoke and said." Something like that, 26 times. And so, again, as we've said about all the prophets, they were not delivering a message from themselves. They were the spokesman that was used by God to deliver his message. And Haggai certainly was that. Both he and Zechariah were prophets to Judah and to the city of Jerusalem, and basically to that remnant that came back to rebuild the temple. And his was a single message. Now, we're going to talk about four of them as the book is divided. But the major theme of the book of Haggai was rebuild the temple. Get it done. Just go ahead and put aside all the excuses that you're using. We'll talk about one of them tonight. But just go ahead and get done what you came back to do. You came back to rebuild the temple. Go ahead and get it done. And the people responded to him, because the other place in Ezra that he's mentioned is in chapter 6, verse 14, where it tells us as a result of Zechariah and Haggai, they're prophesying, or their message from God, the temple was rebuilt. And so the people heard, they responded, and did what God told them to do. And so other than those three places, he's not mentioned in the Bible, so we don't know where he came from. Most people think that he came back from Babylon when Zerubbabel came back after Cyrus made the decree that they could go back. I don't know what he did as an occupation. And so we think he lived in Jerusalem, since that's after he came back, because that's where he prophesied to, but we don't even know that for sure. But this book, these two chapters, 38 verses, it covers a period of 4 months. 4 months. And yet, in those 4 months, it was a critical or pivotal time for God's people, because something changed in those 4 months. How God was dealing with his people changed in those 4 months. Now, again, he was talking to that remnant of Jews that came out of Babylon after the Babylonian captivity. In fact, we'll come back and read it again, but in verse 1 of Haggai chapter 1, it says, "In the second year of Darius the king." And you go back and read in secular history, we can read where Darius ruled, and the second year of his rule was 520 B.C. 520 B.C. And again, came the word of the Lord. So there's one of those 26 times in the very first verse. Haggai was saying, "I'm not delivering my message, I'm delivering God's message." Now, so 520 B.C. Now, 16 years earlier, okay, so it would have been 536 B.C., the Persian king, Cyrus, issued a decree moved to do so by God, that the Jews that were held captive could go back and rebuild the temple. Now, if you want to, you can turn back with me to the book of Ezra, book right before Nehemiah. Okay, Ezra chapter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 2, and I'm going to read this decree that Cyrus made. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So here's a Persian king that recognizes the God of heaven, and the God of heaven moved him to issue a decree to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And he says to all the Jews that were captives, hey, so who among you is willing to go back and to work on rebuilding this temple? Now, we read that there were about 50,000 people that returned to do that. In fact, in Ezra chapter 2, those people are named by family and counted. Okay? And in Ezra chapter 2, verse 64, it sort of sums up the counting. It says, the whole congregation, numbers 42,630, and then there were 7,337 servants and maids. So altogether, there were 49,717 people. And then it numbers their horses, 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 asses. And so there it tells us that when Cyrus made this decree, these 50,000 people came back. And again, the decree was to go back and rebuild the temple, rebuild the house of God. So 2 years later, okay, 2 years later, they had laid the foundation. And by the way, it took some time to get back and all that. But they laid the foundation, and the prospects for rebuilding were bright. I mean, they'd made a lot of progress. And it looked like they were going to go ahead and complete what God sent them back to do. But now it's 520 BC. It's 14 years since the foundation has been laid, and the circumstances are different. They've made no progress since laying the foundation. The Samaritans had hired counselors against the Jews that had gone back to Jerusalem, and they had misrepresented them to not only Cyrus, but to the one that replaced him, Artaxias. And as a result of those accusations, and they basically said, hey, look, if you let this city be rebuilt, they won't pay tribute. In fact, if you go back and read in history, you'll find that there were kings that ruled the whole earth from Jerusalem, and they collected tribute from everybody. And Artaxas did that and sent word back, have them stop. And so the project was stopped. The temple was not rebuilt. The foundation was covered over with debris. It was overgrown with weeds. And the Jewish people that were there had sort of accepted it. I mean, they had just learned to live with this idea that the temple wasn't going to be rebuilt. And part of the reason was they were reacting wrong to the prophecy that Jeremiah had made. Jeremiah had said, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, that there was going to be 70 years of desolation as punishment on his people. 70 years of punishment from the Babylonians. In fact, let's look at it. Again, you don't need to turn back to it. I'll read it for you. But if you want to turn back, it's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 11. Okay? Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 11. Here's what it says. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. 70 years. The nation of Judah Israel already was taken captive by the Assyrians, but the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin were going to be carried away by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah said there in that verse, it was that there was going to be a desolation, and it was going to last for 70 years. Now, Daniel read that, and he thought about it. In fact, if you want to go with me to Daniel chapter 9, sorry we were using our Bible so much tonight, but this is Bible study. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay? So Daniel read the prophecy of Jeremiah and said, yep, and he was in captivity himself. And, you know, there were all sorts of people coming and saying, oh, it's going to be shorter. We're going to get to go home pretty soon. And God sent Daniel back to the book of Jeremiah and said, no, it's going to be 70 years. Zechariah mentioned it in his book. We won't read it, but Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12. And here's what the Jews thought. Well, 70 years are not up yet. And so we can't rebuild the temple. Yeah, we've been stopped by the Samaritans and our taxes and the king, and it must be of God. It must be of God that we're not being able to rebuild the temple because the 70 years have not expired yet. And that's what Haggai means. And again, if you want to turn back to the book of Haggai, in chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, again, in the first two verses, he says, it's not me talking, it's God talking. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not yet come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They were saying, it must not be time yet. 70 years aren't up. And they were hiding behind this prophecy. So, here it is, 520 BC, here comes Haggai on the scene, and if you do the math, and we're going to try to, I'm just going to show you a couple of verses, if you do the math, the 70 years were up in that year of 520 BC when Haggai came on the scene. And the transition that was happening as God was dealing with his people is that the 70 years of punishment was over and he was about to bless his people again and restore that relationship that they had as God and people and begin to bless them again. And I don't know if the Jews knew it. I don't know if the Jewish leaders knew it. I don't even know if Haggai knew it. But God knew it. He knew. Don't tell me that God can't keep time. Don't tell me that God can't count. I mean, I just look at this book and say, yeah, he's very concerned about numbers. He's very concerned about dates. So, again, let me just take a couple minutes. Go to Haggai chapter 2 and look at verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, or from this day and forward. For from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, and there were but 20. We're going to talk about that being the punishment of God because his house wasn't rebuilt. That he took his hand of blessing off the land. He said, I smote you with blasting, with mildew, and with hail, and all the labors of your hands. Yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and forward. God says, I want you to mark this day. From this day and upward or forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth from this day, hath not brought forth. He says, from this day I will bless you. And what Haggai was saying is, from this day, from the 24th day in the 9th month, what he was saying was, This is the end of the 70 years. The 70 years have run their course, and from this day forward, I'm going to bless you. Now, I don't think I'm going to have time tonight, so I'll tell you what. I'll make you up a little slip of paper, but there's scriptures where you can go back, and you can see where God told the people to mark the day when Babylon, the Babylonians, besieged Jerusalem, when they surrounded it and they began to take the city. And there's scriptures, and again, I don't have time to read them and get through with what I want to get through with tonight, but where God says, mark the day. Mark this day down, the day that Jerusalem is being besieged. And if you count from that day to this day that Haggai mentions, it says, from this day forward will I bless you, there are 25,200 days that expired from one day to another. A prophetical year in the Bible was 360 days. And if you multiply 360 by 70, you'll get 25,200. And so from the time that Jerusalem was besieged until the time that Haggai talks about in this verse, 25,200 days, 70 years exactly to the day. Now, don't tell me God's not concerned about time. Don't tell me that God can't work his plan to the day. He can. He can. And so Haggai said, from this day forward, I will bless you. This was the turning point. This was a pivotal time for God's people. And so Haggai says, hey, get busy. You came back to rebuild the temple. You can't hide behind the prophecy anymore that the 70 years are not expired, because I'm telling you, it's already expired. The 70 years are up. So get up and get at it and do what you came back to do, rebuild the temple. Now, if you look at the book of Haggai, you can see there's four different messages in these 38 verses. First message, and each one of them is dated, and each one of them has a point. The first one is in chapter 1, 6 month, first day, build the house, build the temple. The second one in the 7th month, in the 21st day, I am with you. God's saying, I'm with you. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. The third message in the 9th month, in the 24th day, which we just read, from this day forward, I will bless you. From this day forward, I will bless you. And then the fourth message, the last three verses in chapter 2, 9th month, 24th day, in that day, I will make thee a signet. I'll make you like a ring that's used to seal covenants. Because in that day, I am going to renew the covenant that, by the way, God never broke, but his people broke. And one day, the Messiah is going to come and reign. And so, we're going to look at message one tonight. So turn back to chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to get through these 15 verses in about 6 minutes, all right? And then I want to just make a point how what these people were doing, some people are doing today. And the message that Haggai delivered to them is a very appropriate message in our day and age. Okay? So, in the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying. So again, the word of the Lord by Haggai, delivered to the governor and to the high priest. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Again, thus saith the Lord, 2 times in the first 2 verses. And again, we've already talked about the people were saying, no, this is not the time yet. 70 years haven't expired. Verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, again, first 3 verses, Haggai's making a point. It's not me. This is not my message. This is a message from God. It's his message. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? He said, you live in your sealed houses. That word sealed is a word that means lavish. They came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. 16 years later, they lived in lavish houses, which they built, and the temple was still wasted, not rebuilt. And so God says, you live in your fine houses, but my house is still still a mess. It's not rebuilt. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. I'm in Zechariah. Verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Again, this is the fourth time. He says, "The Lord now saith the Lord of hosts." He said, just think about what's going on in your lives. That's what that phrase means, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. Sort of like Lois, Mrs. Merkel, clothed but not warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in bags with holes. He say, look, you've sown a lot, but you bring in little. You eat, but you're still hungry. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You're clothed, but you're not warm. To earn wages, but it's like putting them in bags with holes. I mean, you can never get ahead. You can never save. You can never get everything you want, or maybe even everything you need. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Why do you think those things are happening? Why do you think you sow and bring in little? Why do you think you drink and you're still thirsty? Why do you think you eat and you're still hungry? Why? And what God is saying is, because my house has not been rebuilt. So he says in verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. If you do what I sent you back to do, I'll start to bless you. But what's going on now is not my blessing. In fact, what's going on now is a direct result of your disobedience. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Do you want, you want to know why? When you bring, you think you're bringing in much, it turns to little? You want to know why you're living from paycheck to paycheck? You want to know why it seems like you can never get ahead? Because you've been disobedient to me. I brought you back to rebuild the temple. You built nice houses for yourself. But mine's still a waste. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. Dew was important to them. They lived in an arid land. Dew was most of the time the moisture that their crops got. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. The earth is holding back her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. God says, I called for a drought on everything. Everything is not going to bear what it should bear. Everything is not going to bring forth what it should bring forth. And here's why. Because my house lieth waste. You have not done what I sent you back to do. And you say, well, the 70 years aren't expired. Well, don't you think it was a sign for me that I had a wicked king of Persia pass a decree to build me a house in Jerusalem? Don't you think that was an instruction for me to go back and you started off good, you got the foundation laid, but nothing's happening. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all, underline the word all, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. So in other words, they got busy. They started building the temple. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The enemy was still there. Those that did not want the temple to be rebuilt were still there. And God was saying, don't worry about it. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll protect you. I'll give you what you need. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all, again, underline the word all, the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Now it tells me it took 23 days for him to get up and get to work. Because Haggai came in the first day of the 6th month, and then that last verse it says in the 24th day of the 6th month, they went to work. They were obedient to God. Now, there are some people today that have the same attitude that the Jews did before Haggai came on the scene. And here's what they say. Well, the Bible says the world's going to just get worse and worse until Jesus comes. So what's the use of trying to do anything for him? I'm just going to sit by, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to wait, and Jesus is coming soon. It's not a new attitude in our day. It's an attitude that has transcended the times. When William Carey, who was a missionary, was in college, and he was talking to one of his professors about going to the mission field, his professor said to him, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without you or mine help." And William Carey didn't take the advice from his professor. He went to the mission field and won thousands and thousands to Jesus Christ. People say today, well, there's no record in the Bible of a great awakening or a great revival in the last days. Well, there's no record in the Bible of the reckoning or the awakening or the revival that came in the days of Moody or Spurgeon or Billy Sunday. There's no record of them either. And so, and they say the same, I mean, these people say, well, now look, things are just going to get worse and worse and worse. The world is just headed to hell, and there's nothing we can do to stop it, and they're hiding behind their misinterpretation of the Word of God. I'll tell you tonight, the prophecy of God is always true. The interpretation of man is sometimes false and mistaken. And these people that sit by and sit down and don't work and say, well, there's nothing we can do because the world's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse till Jesus comes. There's no use of us trying, are the same kind of people that existed in the day of Haggai that says we can't rebuild the temple because the 70 years are not up. What about the scriptures that say God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? What about the scriptures that say the fields are white unto harvest? Where are the laborers? And maybe we don't see much of his blessing today because he's doing the same thing to us and our nation that he did to the nation of the Jews. He says, you haven't been obedient, and so I've called for a drought on everything. And you work and make money, but it's like putting it in the bags with holes. And you eat and you're not full. And you drink and you're not satisfied. And you wear clothes but you're not warm. Well, maybe it's because we're doing the same thing that they did. And maybe God's trying to get our attention to say, hey, look, until I come and take you home, you need to be busy. I tell you what, I think I'm done. I'm out of time. But I think it would please God that we fill up this place every week. Every seat taken, choir has to set in the choir because there's no place for them to sit. Chairs in the aisles. I think that would please God. And then if he tarries, we'll build. Get a little bit bigger building. And then I think it would please him if we filled it up again. And again. And again. And maybe we can get the blessings of God back if we just be obedient and do what he told us to do and quit worrying what kind of shape the world's in. Huh? Glad you were here tonight. See, these books written centuries ago are just as relevant today as they were when these prophets stood up and shook their finger in the face of the people and said, get up and get to work. Get up and get to work. Glad you're here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.